Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk listeners. Welcome to Free on the Inside, where today our guest is Tanisha Robinson, a courageous spirit like Harriet Tubman and the advocating voice like Barbara Jordan of education. She has been an educator for more than 15 years and has leveraged her experience into that of author, advocate, independent educational consultant, and speaker, teaching, and challenging students to be purposeful in their pursuit of education through practical activities. She has had a remarkable career as a teacher and has provided creative academic solutions for students, parents, and other educational organizations. Tanisha was recognized as a 2011 Houston Minority Achiever and earning the 2015 Humanitarian Award with Phoenix Women's Outreach, LLC. Recently nominated for the 2016 HEB Excellence in Education Award, Tanisha worked with the Houston Area Alliance of School Black Educators, McNeil Educational Foundational, Greater Houston Area YMCA, and served on several advisory boards for various nonprofit organizations. She is a native of Dallas, Texas, and a graduate of Prairie View A&M University. Tanisha resides in Houston, Texas, with her daughters, Asia and Amari. Welcome, Tanisha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our weekly Index program. Thank you for being a guest, Ms. Robinson. Oh, my God, I am so happy to have you to be a part of our program, Free on the Inside, our weekly internet program to inform our listening audience, to encourage them, and to challenge them to be all they could be. I love that. I love that. I love that. Because you have a program, you have a ministry that I love it. It says challenge, a 187 challenge. We're going to talk about that, but please introduce yourself to our listening audience. Go beyond the little bio and tell us more about yourself.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me. I'm honored. I'd love to jump right in. I am a over 15-year educator. I've been in education. Actually, this is coming up on my 17th year, to be exact. I enjoy inspiring children. I love watching others develop, and that's pretty much my passion. In a nutshell, the bio, I think, speaks for itself, but again, I'm passionate about helping scholars develop into who they are designed to be. This definitely has been an inspiration for me as I am a mom and a teacher. So my own children has inspired me as well.
All right, all right. Before we go any further, we'd just like to give out the contact number so someone can call in and be a part of this great show here. That number, you too can call in and speak to our guest and ask her some things regarding education. That number is 310-982-4126. You too could call that number or share that number with someone. Now, Ms. Robinson, as we was discussing earlier, you have been involved in this line of work for quite a while, been an educator, but yet you have a family, you have other responsibilities. What allows you to get or to be able to go beyond your own self-interest and look into the needs of others?
Again, as I stated earlier, I am definitely that of an advocate. I always have been. I think any educator is. What really inspires me to tap into the needs of others is that this extreme passion that I have just to see people reach their goals. I'm very passionate about helping others, very passionate about developing and giving them ideas and planting that seed and making them think outside the box. I actually have a second grade class, and I wake up every morning getting to inspire those kids and inspiring many kids that I see on a day-to-day basis as they walk into our campus, and just to give them a different outlook. They are bombarded with so many things in the world, and to be able to plant that seed of not only planting knowledge, but being able to have them look through a different microscope, a different lens of what they think they might want to be when they grow up. So just to be able to implement those thoughts into their heads and make an impression and mold them to what they should be is exciting. It's phenomenal. Not only do I get to be a part of the process, but, you know, 30-something years later, I look up and they've been successful and they go on to do great things with their lives. And that's all any parent or any educator could ever ask for, is just to be a part of the process in making our children great and helping them be all that they can be.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, you said something a while ago how you get a chance to see them and you get a chance to shape and mold their thoughts and also allow them to have a sense of belonging and being a part of something. Cause I do juvenile ministry, I do street ministry, and people seem to have lost hope. They seem like they just been going to and fro. And I'm wondering, what if they lose that? What if they forget about that gift and that God instilled in them many, many years ago from their very birth? And you're able to tap in on that. Now, you're an educator and an author. So tell us about some about your writing and the program that you have put forth there at 187 The School Challenge. I love that.
Thank you. The 187 School Day Challenge, simply day-to-day challenges that I present our students with. It is slated on 187 school days because most elementary campuses in the state of Texas, either students are in school for 180 days or 187. And each day there's a daily task for them to perform. It's very simple. It's very practical. And most of all, they get to do it in an academic setting, somewhere that they report to each and every day for approximately 6.5 hours. So the tasks are designed to kind of get students out of their comfort zone. It's kind of making them think outside the box and making them perform a simple task that they've probably never even considered doing. While all along, as they go along doing the task, they'll understand and they will begin to see that as they dig a little bit deeper, they just might discover their gifts and their talents. So, for example, I think day 10 might be something simple as write a thank you note to your principal thanking him or her for their leadership. So as a student set out to do this challenge, not only do they get the opportunity to reflect, but they will also maybe discover that, hey, I'm a very good writer, or I'm a great speaker, or I'm a great dancer, or I'm good at organizing, whatever the task may be for that particular day. So it's always been a mission of mine to help kids understand not only that they have to learn content, but it's equally important to develop your character, and it's equally important to understand what your gifts are, because unfortunately the world that we live in really doesn't perpetuate that. So it's my goal, and I believe it is my purpose to help kids discover their purpose.
You know, and that is so true. That is so true. Now, as you were sharing that, I was just thinking about redirecting their mindset. You know, right now our young people have many, many challenges ahead of them, but yet you're stepping up to the plate and you're making an effort and being successful at redirecting them. What are some of the tools and techniques you use in a school environment? Because, you know, a lot of times as we send our kids to school, we kind of lose that contact. They feel like, hey, I have no adult supervision, so I can kind of do what I want. But you've been an educator. You're saying, no, you can't do that. What are some of the things that you do and to encourage our young men and women to strive for success?
One thing I'm very adamant about with my scholars is that I tend to be transparent. I tend to share a lot of things with them. I find myself teaching the content area, but I spend a great deal of time as well just talking to them candidly, heart to heart, having a discussion about life. And although I teach second graders, believe it or not, they understand thoroughly what it is in the conversations that I engage with them on a day-to-day basis. And it's just giving them a different path and sharing some things with them, because although we tend to underestimate children a lot just because they're children, they know more than what we think they do. And so I'm open about my journey as I was set out to write the book, and hopefully that it inspires them and see, because oftentimes our children think teachers aren't human. They somehow think we possess all the superpowers. But it's just honestly being real with them and being open and honest and just sharing some things about them. And I've been very fortunate and blessed to have developed many positive relationships with the kids. I do know one challenge for me this year has been really making a connection with our African-American boys, connecting with our males. But I've done a fantastic job in just kind of breaking some of their walls down and just really taking time to let them know that we do care and we are listening and teaching them so many things that unfortunately a lot of them may not be getting at home. So we're kind of filling in the gaps as best as we can. So I salute, my hats off to any educator in this industry. Although it's a challenge, we love our students and we simply want what's best for them.
Oh, that is so true. And you know, you spoke on our young men, and I do a juvenile mission. I'm going over to a juvenile center today, the Cottrell House, and we go over there once a month, and we encourage our young men. But we also do things to teach them life lessons. And one of the lessons that we do a birthday presentation, and we get them a wallet. And we say a wallet is only as valuable as stuff you put in it, you know. And life is only as valuable as what you put in it. Education is only
Absolutely.
As valuable as what you put in it, you know. Relationship, I like that, a teaching moment. And then with the changing of the season, we're going to do develop a community garden, because I want them to be able to take ownership and see how their life can be fruitful and their life could be blessed by just having, you know, just the way that garden is. So it's a teachable moment. I like what you're saying. And so I can receive that. And I know that the young men and women that you're sharing that with are able to receive that also. So my hat goes off to you and your staff.
Thank
now,
you.
Tell us something now. When did you first discover that you were able to, that you wanted to write something? Because you have a lot of things going on, but yet you found time. You went beyond your own comfort zone. I love that, because it said being free on the inside. Because let me tell you, some people tell you you're too busy. Some people tell you, we got enough books like that. Have you looked on the internet? There's a whole lot of books that's writing about what you're talking about. What makes you want to do something like that? Because someone listened to us this morning. Someone said, I have a desire, but I looked into it and I see that everybody else is doing the same thing I'm doing. So I shouldn't do this. I should do something else. So how do you able to work through all those issues and still be able to do the things that God put to your hand and your heart to do?
Honestly, I went through that. I'm listening to you and I'm going, wow, that was me maybe about a year or two ago. There are so many books out there. And then I decided, you know what, but this book is not out there. And this book is catered to engage children in a day-to-day process, in the process of helping them discover their gifts and their talents. To be honest with you, if I waited on time itself, it probably wouldn't lend itself to me. I really had to take the time between juggling a 9-to-5 job and being a full-time mother. This was something that I had to do. I knew that my daughters were definitely watching me, who are always the center and the source of my inspiration for just about everything I set out to do. But I wanted to make sure that I started the task, that I completed the task. And it really just to show kids that, you know, not only Ms. Robinson is a teacher, she's an author. And if you really want something, you have to be determined enough to get it. So time really didn't lend itself. I just kind of stepped out of my comfort zone, as you spoke about earlier, and pushed myself as best as I could. One important thing was, it was absolutely adamant and great to have a support system. I have so many friends who are encouraging, who are kind of on the same path to accomplishing their goals. So when you set out to do something and you center yourself around like-minded individuals, not only do you get held accountable, but they push you to go forward. And I had a great coach as well, Will Murphy, who's Dallas-based. Will was very instrumental in pushing me and holding me accountable as well, and making sure that I set out to do this goal, and just showing me strategies and techniques that I could do to accomplish what it was I wanted. If we waited for what we truly wanted in the given days and the given hours and times that comes with that day, you'll never get it done. You literally have to take the time. If you want it bad enough, I believe you can get it done if you want it.
All right. Well spoken. Being free on the inside. All right. That's great. Hey, our
yes.
phone line is lighting up. A lot of people are calling in. They want to hear what you have to say at this here time. Again, that call-in number is 310-982-4126. And you are listening to Free on the Inside with our guest this morning, an educator, an author, Miss Robinson. She's sharing with us this morning about her school challenge 187. Now, tell us about your book, your program. How would someone be able to pick that up or just find out more information about it?
The book is available on Amazon.com. If you simply go to www.amazon.com, and in the search engine, all they literally have to do is type in the 187, and the book will pop up. And there they can check the book out. It is also set up to where if they want to flip the front and back cover, it also gives them a sneak peek of what the inside of the book entails. And I can also be reached at TanitraRobinson@hotmail.com. That's TanitraRobinson@hotmail.com if they so choose to purchase directly through me. I'll be more than happy to assist them with that. But it is definitely out there on Amazon.com.
All right. Now, your book, is it a companion book? Is it like a workbook along with a study guide? Or is it a twofold book? Or how do you have it structured?
It is structured to where the kids are presented with the day and the activity for that day. And then there's also a part in there where students are able to simply write down and reflect. So it's kind of an interactive guide, more so like a workbook. And they can carry this book anywhere they go. They do not have to complete the daily task in the order that it is slated for. So if you want to do day one first and skip around to day 15, they certainly can. It's designed to modify, fit their needs, however they see fit. They do not have to complete all the activities. They can pick and choose the activities, of course, that they will want to do. But I did present some activities in there that I know for a fact students may have not engaged in, and it was just really to get them outside of their comfort zone.
Oh, that's great. I'm getting a sense that it's a book towards to try to enhance their education, enhance their knowledge, and give them a desire to do some things, you know. So you said outside the comfort zone. So I like that. I like that. Now tell us now, as we purchase the book and we are applying it, is it what age group are you targeting?
It is targeted for elementary students right now, grades 1 through 5. It certainly can be modified as we are, my team and myself are actually working on book 2, which is slated for our middle schoolers, because we know that 5th graders transition over into 6th grade and they go through different challenges and they experience different things. So we're writing the book to where it fits and it's catering to our middle schoolers. And I actually have an administrator, principal, out in Albany, New York, who purchased the book and is currently using it for his high schoolers. So they were able to modify it and adapt and make it fit high school as well.
All right. Now, now you're located in the Houston area right now, and I'm in Dallas. I saw your bio. You say you're a graduate of Lincoln High School, which is my old school, too, so I'm glad that we're associated. I graduated from Lincoln also. Now, tell us, sometimes we make the mistakes, at least I have in the past, and I want you to talk to me about it because you're an educator. I said I want to change my child from one school to another because I feel like the education structure ain't right, they not being liked or whatever it may be. What is your take on that as being an educator? Because sometimes we do our kids disservice because we end up changing them. They don't get a good foundation. Am I wrong about that or what?
No, I have to be very honest with you. I've seen parents in the past, unfortunately, just as there is racial profiling out there. Sometimes in education we tend to experience at school profiling. You know, we are driving to a certain neighborhood and we automatically make assumptions about the campus based on the location and the area. I would advise any parent to thoroughly do your research. You know, go beyond the blog pages, go beyond the links and the websites, and actually take time to go out and observe and visit and meet and greet with teachers and get those questions answered and actually research and find out. Because although we have campuses that may be a little bit more challenging than others, doesn't necessarily mean that they have poor teachers in there or that discipline is an issue. Sometimes all that glitter is not necessarily gold. So I would just simply advise any parent to go and check it out and talk with the community and talk with the teachers and talk with the administrators and find out what their mission is. Find out what is the vision for their campus and how you can be a part of that and how you can contribute not only to your scholar being successful, but how can you contribute to other children and scholars that may be in that building, because we all play a role. At the end of the day, we are all stakeholders. But I think as long as parents are involved, regardless of what campus your child may attend and what district they may be going through, I think as long as we're proactive and you stay on top of things, I think any child can be successful, regardless of where they are.
Oh, that is so true. Now, tell us something, just a little side note. You know, I've worked with young people and older, and sometimes people's desires and their goals tend to be a little bit off track. What are some of the things that young kids tell you at a young age that they look around, they see society, they say, hey, I want to be like this, I want to be like that. What advice do you give them when they say they want to be like an entertainer, an athlete, or whatever it may be that you say, well, maybe that may not be right? How do you encourage them or redirect their thoughts?
I redirect their thoughts by really just planting a seed, giving them something to think about. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, especially our males, wanted it to be rappers or basketball players. And I never down that at all. You know, I actually encourage it, but then I just give them a different outlook. And I say, well, instead of being a rapper, why not be the producer? Why not be the person that owns the record label? You know, why not be the person who owns the company? And if they want to, I've heard a lot about sports. Some of them want to be football players and basketball players. And I go, well, why not be the person who makes the basketball, and then you supply the basketballs to the team? Why not be the person that owns the Staples Center, you know, allow them a place to play in? Or why not be the person who is who's the constructor, the construction guy who's building the building in which you guys are going to play your games in? So it's just giving them a different outlook, because their outlook, believe it or not, is really limited. And it's limited due to what they see on TV and the world that they see around them. But I believe it is our responsibility, whether you are an educator or not, to paint a different picture and to expose them to different avenues in which they could go. So it's always never downing what they want to do, which I never will do that. But I definitely want to encourage them to take a different look through a different lens. Hey, have you considered this? Have you considered that? So you're still in the rap industry. You're just not the rapper. You're the person who's producing the rappers. You're the person who's creating the labels. You're the person who owns the record label, so that you can get all these people to work for you. So I really push entrepreneurship, most definitely.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I do the same thing also when our young men, they talk about playing sports. I say, hey, you ever talk about being a trainer, a physician? They making much money. They have more clients. They career lasts a lot longer than that professional athlete. So it's okay to do that. But after that career is over with, if you don't achieve that goal, you can still be there with, you know, thing that you like to do or being a part of it. So my hat goes off to you. As we get ready to wind down this program, I want to thank you once again for being a guest on the show. You make the show what it is today, about educating people, informing them, and challenging them. Young and old, you are challenging us to be all we could be. Today, somebody hear your voice, and they say, I could do that. I have a desire for this. The thing that spoke to me when I was a child, I've been harboring that thing, and now I have that freedom to go out and do those things and be okay. If I fall, I could get up, because I'm surrounded by like-minded men and women. Thank you, thank
Absolutely.
You, thank you. Again, let us know where your book is. I'm sorry. Where can we pick up your book?
The book can be purchased on www.amazon.com, and in the search engine, you can type the 187 school and the book will pop up. I typically give that short version of the link, because the link is extremely long. So if they just find themselves on amazon.com and type in the search engine, the 187 school, the book will pop up. And thank you for all your support. And most importantly, again, thank you for having me. I'm very honored.
Well, we're honored to have you on here. We have the phone lines lit up, but people say they just want to listen to you. We have our co-host on the line here, Brother Daniels, and he'll be on here shortly. But again, before we let you go, give a word of encouragement to someone that have a desire to do some things, and yet they just feel like they just fall short. They feel like they don't have enough resources. Because I know I'm pretty sure that you're not rich, and people told you can't do this because we got other things to do, but yet you found that freedom to be able to do the things that God put to your hands to do.
Absolutely. I want to encourage not only our scholars out there, I want to encourage our purposeful parents as they are pursuing to be the best that they can be and to aid in their scholars' education. If there's anything that you want to do, simply do it. It's already in you. You have that gift. You have that ability. It is your purpose, and it is innate. And with you in mind, you were slated to do what you set out to do. So I want to encourage anyone, young or old, adults, and our scholars out there, to step forth and put the naysayers to the side, surround yourself with like-minded individuals, and more importantly, surround yourself with people who genuinely, authentically care about you and want to see the best for you, because that's what you deserve.
All right. Thank you very much, very much. And again, one more time, where can we pick up your book so we want other people to be empowered?
The book, again, can be purchased on www.amazon.com, and we are equally excited. We welcome contributions as we set forth out to take on the 187 School Day Challenge. I challenge anyone to come on, jump aboard, as I set out to shift the mindset of our 21st century learners.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you. And you have a great day. We'll be talking later. You can always go back and listen to this show in its entirety. We have an archive section. We'll be back on. We'll be up in about an hour after we sign off. So please go back and enjoy this portion of the program and add it to your Facebook page.
Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. Amen. What a great interview that we had there with the doctor, educator, Miss Robinson. Amen. She is truly a blessed lady. We pray that you enjoyed that portion of our interview. We got another one coming up with Dr. Morris is coming up here to talk about the health fair that's coming up. And, you know, the purpose of this program is to inform our listening audience and to encourage them and to challenge them to be about our Father's business. Sometimes we want to know, what would you have me to do? He wants you to get up and listen to a program. He wants you to be involved in changing the lives of someone here. As our educator was talking about, Miss Robinson was saying how she's shaping the minds of our young men. And when we all have a right to do those things, because our Lord and Savior said, go ye therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost, and lo, I'll be with you always. And me through the good time and the bad time, through the scary time and the unsure time, I'll be with you always. And as we bring by guests on this program each and every week, you have men and women that are being challenged, but yet they went past their own comfort zone and looking to the needs of others. That call-in number, you too can join this program, is 310-982-4126. We'd like to give a shout-out and acknowledgement to Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny Place for sponsoring this program each and every week. Granny Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry to meet the needs of our young men and women at risk. You can find out more information about Granny Place Ministry by going to the website, grannyplaceministry.org. And also, you can listen to more great shows from the Blog Talk Network on Monday nights. It's My Sister, My Friend, which is hosted by LaShondra Lewis. That show is at 8 o'clock every Monday. And also, on Tuesday nights, we have a new show that's on. I'm very excited about it, about the Ladder House with Dr. Carter. And he comes on for words of encouragement. And we have some of these members on the line this morning. Good morning, Ladder House. Good morning, Dr. Carter. And great to have y'all aboard there. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. I enjoy your program on Tuesdays, along with my wife, LaShondra Lewis. And on Thursdays, we have Wanda McKinley. Now, she hosts a program called Say We Are Survival, about women dealing with domestic violence and encouraging other women that be strong in the Lord, encouraging other women that they are more than overcomers. And then on Saturday mornings, you have yours truly, Minister Joy Lewis, and Free on the Inside program. We have our next guest will be coming up here in a few minutes here, so we're going to bring them on. And then we pray that you be careful. Our next guest is Dr. Carter. He's hosting a You may hear the phone ringing right
Your
now.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
We don't have him right
As
now.
As the chasing escape management group, if this is a medical
emergency, we don't have him on the line right now, so we'll just bring him in here shortly. But we're going to continue to honor Black History Month here. We got a brother Daniels on the line this morning here. He's going to come up in a few minutes. But because of Black History, this is our last a weekend for Black History, so we want to continue that format here. And today we want to talk about some Black inventors from Black History Month. So this here may be some people that
the
you know about,
the 21st century, narrated by Diane Austin.
Black
African Americans have played a pivotal role in creating inventions that have had a major impact on our everyday lives. From agriculture to medicine, from science to technology, African-American men and women have left their mark in American and world history. Let's take a look at some of the Black inventors, both past and present, who have left an indelible mark on the world in which we live. Black Man, the Motown marvel sings of Benjamin Banneker. First clock to be made in America was created by a black man. Though the song is a fitting salute to a great inventor and African Americans in general, it only touches on the genius of Benjamin Banneker and the many hats he wore as a farmer, mathematician, astronomer, author, and land surveyor. But it was his clock invention that really propelled the reputation of Benjamin Banneker. Sometime in the early 1750s, Benjamin borrowed a pocket watch from a wealthy acquaintance, took the watch apart, and studied its components. After returning the watch, he created a fully functioning clock entirely out of carved wooden pieces, all at the young age of 21. The clock was amazingly precise and would keep on ticking for decades. As a result of the attention his self-made clock received, Banneker was able to start up his own watch and clock repair business. Every time a person crunches into a potato chip, he or she is enjoying the delicious taste of one of the world's most famous snacks, a treat that might not exist without the contribution of Black inventor George Crumb. Crumb, the son of an African-American father and a Native American mother, was working as a chef in the summer of 1853 when he accidentally invented the chip. It all began when a patron who ordered a plate of French fried potatoes sent them back to Crumb's kitchen because he felt they were too thick and soft. To teach the picky patron a lesson, Crumb sliced a new batch of potatoes as thin as he possibly could and then fried them until they were hard and crunchy. Finally, to top them off, he added a generous heaping of salt. But to Crumb's surprise, the dish ended up being a hit with the patron and a new snack was born. Years later, Crumb opened his own restaurant that had a basket of potato chips on every table. Though Crumb never attempted to patent his invention, the snack was eventually mass-produced and sold in bags, providing thousands of jobs nationwide. Generally, when people think of famous African-American inventors, one of the first names that comes to mind is George Washington Carver. Perhaps most famously, Carver discovered over 300 different uses for peanuts, including making cooking oil, axle grease, and printer's ink. Despite the positive impact George Washington Carver's inventions had on the South, the inventor never sought out glory. Instead, he continued to invent, discover, and teach in order to make the world a better place. Inscribed on his tombstone is the epitaph, "He could have added fortune to fame, but caring for neither, he found happiness and honor in being helpful to the world." Many of the world's famous inventors only produced one major invention that garnered recognition and cemented their prominent status. But Garrett Augustus Morgan, one of the country's most successful African-American inventors, actually created two major inventions, the gas mask and the traffic signal.
We pray that you enjoy a portion of our Black History inventors there, and we're going to encourage you to go out and find out more information about these gifted men that are in the past. Amen. We got our guest that's coming up here in just a few minutes here. We have Dr. Morris. He's sponsoring our health a ministry coming on, a health project is for the community called Stomping Out Asthma. He'll be coming on here in a few minutes, and the phone lines will be open for you to ask him some questions regarding your health needs and about how to help control this dreadful disease, asthma. Amen. With the changing of the season, with the allergies, a lot of times we just don't know what to do. And this doctor can give you some information. He's a professional doctor. He runs a health clinic and also do community awareness regarding asthma. You, too, can join the program once again at number 310-982-4126. And, again, I'd like to say good morning to Dr. Carter and the men and women over at the Ladder House for being a part of this program this morning. I'd like to thank also Ms. Robinson and her group, and faithful followers that's a part of the program this morning, Brother Daniel that's waiting in our queue, room to waiting on us to bring him on here. So thank you, to Brother Daniel, and we're waiting on our guest to give us a call here. He'll be calling in here in a few minutes, and so we're excited about him coming on, and so we thank God for him and you too. Let's see if any of our guests have anything to say this morning here. We finna open up the phone lines for someone with the number 9042. You're on the net. Good morning. Would you like to say hello to our guest this morning? Phone number 9042.
Good morning.
I'm afraid I don't have the number. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, sir, for just allowing us to be a part of this and just sharing in the information. It's wonderful stuff to hear and know and be afforded. Thank you for bringing us Ms. Robinson and just her giving us the information about the 187 school day. It's great information to have and great information to know that you can be a part of and know that our community as African-Americans is still out there being effective and taking the bull by the horns and making change.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, each week we bring on great guests. So continue to listen to this program. Continue to be encouraged by what you hear. Continue to go out and make a difference. I can hear it in your voice that you have a desire to help change a life, not in your name, not in the program that you're a part of, but in Jesus' name. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And just continue to hold on. We got another great guest coming up talking about asthma. You may know someone that's dealing with that dreadful disease, or you may be affected by that disease yourself. So we want to be in care. We want to be empowered. That's what it's all about, empowering one another. So continue to listen. We have a next guest on the line here. Let's see, 7864. Good morning. You're on the net. Last four numbers, 7864.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for being a part of our weekly internet program.
Well, thank you for having me. I did appreciate the information and getting it. I have kids that's in grade school as well, so that was very good to hear, very encouraging as well. So thank you.
Well, great. Well, God bless you. Now, we have another guest that's coming up here in a few minutes, and so he'll be a part of the program. So just sit back and relax, and we'll open the phone lines up. And he'll be coming on here in a few minutes.
Up and call 911 or leave detail message for a case manager.
All right. So we still having a problem contacting our guests this morning. These things, they do happen, so that's okay, though. That's what happened when you on live. So we're just going to continue. I just talked with him a few minutes ago, so we're just playing a little phone tag. But he'll be in here in a few minutes here. And so we have another guest that we'd like to bring on, another listening audience. The phone number is 1046. We're going to ask them to say hello to our listening audience. Good morning. Phone number 1046. Good morning. Would you like to say hello to our upcoming guest? Okay, then they're not available right now. Here we go again. We're going to call up Doctor, and we're going to just see if she's available. I'd like to encourage you to be involved in the life of a young person, help change a life, allow them to know that that they are valuable. Now, good morning, Dr. Morris. You're on the net.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Nurse Norris here. How's everybody doing?
Nurse Norris. Okay, great. Well, I'm so glad you're available. We've been playing a little phone tag here, but we're there. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Sit back and relax and tell us about, first introduce yourself and then tell us about the program that you have coming up next month.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. First and foremost, I'm grateful. My name is Nurse Norris, and I am a case manager throughout the state of Texas. We have an organization. We have a nonprofit called Positive Breathing. And the novelty about our nonprofit is we have the opportunity to work with so many different people in the community. We've been around for over 5 years. It's been active since 2011. And with Positive Breathing, we go and we do case management for families, children, and pregnant women, and we help those with respiratory disparities. And also they allow us to help those with disparities that are very common in the adolescent ages, if it's pregnant women, crisis situations that help them transition with the birth and the birth and life process. With children, we focus on a lot of the disabilities such as respiratory issues, if they have problems in school with ADD, ADHD, or if they have any learning blocks or barriers, we kind of help with 504 compliance. But on March the 4th, we're going to have a Stomping Out Asthma event. And this novel event will allow every child that has been diagnosed with asthma or you think they have asthma, they're going to get something called a pulmonary function screening.
Okay. Now, that's great. Now, as you was sharing it with it, you know, cause I suffered with asthma some time ago, and I probably still have it, but yet I went to the doctor, and he said I had allergy. What's the difference between asthma and allergy? Is there a difference? So, come on, help me work through that.
Okay, now, the key part, you know, when we do a lot of the education, we talk about things that environmentally cause triggers. And some environmental triggers cause people to go into something called respiratory stress. But the novel thing is with children, the way their body is built up, they can't do something called decompensate. So they don't have, like, a safeguard that will say this is only respiratory. Generally, it turns into from respiratory into a cardiac issue. So if a child has a severe asthma attack, it'll seem like they had a cardiac event. When you talked about allergies versus asthma, what the triggers do is a lot of times the allergies are environmental. You have to be exposed to something to say that you're allergic to it more than once. It's allergen and antibody response. So it's just like a key in a lock. You have to have a key to open the lock, and that causes something called a mass histamine release. And that's why you take the allergy medicine, which blocks histamine. All the allergy medicine does primarily is a histamine blocker. So that a lot of times that's brought on by something environmental. Some people can have asthma attacks from stress. A lot have exposure to certain allergens, whether it be the dust, the ragweed, or sometimes it's odors, or sometimes it's chemical-based. And sometimes it's a dander from cats and dogs. And it just depends on the severity of the allergy antibody response, the exposure, and also the triggers. Now, when a child has asthma, what they want to do is they want to find out what the triggers are and what the allergens are. And see, that's the novel thing about our event. What our event does is it allows the child to be screened. So you don't say my child has a touch of asthma or they did have asthma. We find out if it's mild, moderate, or severe. And it helps in the management. And most parents, if they're honest, they'll admit that when they leave their children, when they're not around them for more than 4, maybe sometimes 6 to 8 hours, they're always concerned because they want to know if there's an emergency event, do they have an inhaler? How bad will their asthma attack be? Can a person around them help them? And really our nonprofit focuses in on that as a priority. It's one of our vitalities that really help us help people.
All right. Now, tell us about the event that's coming up here next month here. You know, you said Stomping Out Asthma. That affects me, and I know people that deals with that. So what can you, our participants that come to that event expect?
All right, Bill, the participants that come to the event, the location primary is going to be right off of Thornton. It's going to be at the address of 4400A South R.L. Thornton, Dallas, Texas, 75224. Again, that's 440A South R.L. Thornton Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75224. That's going to be our location. This event is going to be from 10 to 2. At this event, we're going to have screenings for children with asthma, and we're going to have an allergenist and a pulmonologist on site. Now, most people who've ever had asthma or who have ever had an evaluation for their lungs, they're generally seen by their main doctor, which is their PCP, and they may get a referral to go to a pulmonologist. Very rarely do insurance companies ever pay for an allergenist because they're so specific. If anybody has had a child with severe allergies, they'll have something called a PAX test, or they should have had an immunocap, any parent that has a child with asthma. So with that patch test, it goes over 50 exposures to the environment, and it kind of tells you your top 10. And the things that can really cause you to go into anaphylaxis, which is that response to something you're severely allergic to, and some kids have to get an EpiPen. But to advance to that next step, you have to have a specialist refer you to a specialist, and we actually have one coming to our event for free. He's driving from Tyler, Texas. He works for the University of Texas. His name is Dr. Sharkey. He's a nationally renowned doctor, and he wanted to come and help the children in Dallas because Dallas has a very, very high rate of asthma. And just along Marcellus, that one zip code is actually the sickest zip code in Dallas. So a lot of kids out there suffer with health disparities. So we went to the high schools, we went to the middle schools, we went to the elementaries, we went to the apartment complexes. We even went to the daycares, and we let those who care for children know that this diagnostic test is free. And the thing about this diagnostic test is if it's done what it will actually do, if you take this one diagnostic test back to your physician, your PCP, or your nurse practitioner, what they'll do, they'll change all of your medications because you'll know the level that you have. You'll know your levels, so you'll know if it's mild, moderate, or severe asthma. And then say if you're taking a medication that's a rescue inhaler, the blue or the yellow, if you need to have a corticosteroid or maybe they need to turn it down a notch, and you can use your primary, and then they can know which histamine blockers are going to be best. So they'll rotate you between the Claritin, they'll rotate you between the Allegra and the Zyrtec, and you'll kind of know once you have this diagnostic test done. It's worth $500 per test, and they're doing it for absolutely free.
For free?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. I want our listening audience to know, you know, this program goes across the country, but yeah, you're here in Dallas, Texas. So someone that's in California, New York, and wherever it may be, they realize that they do have access to this information. This positivebreathing.com. Is that a nationwide organization or program?
Yes, actually, we teach for the EPA, and it's positivebreathing.org. Our nonprofit is called positivebreathing.org. And even though we're going to have a lot of kids that are getting screened that day, and we're going to have a show just for the kids, we're going to have a dance battle. And that dance battle is called Thriller. And the kids are going to be there dancing. We've had 7 to 12 before. This is our fifth year having the event. So if you go onto our Facebook page, that's positivebreathing.org. Again, that is positivebreathing.org. We're having the event there, and so the kids are going to be able to have the dance part, and they'll see our organization, positivebreathing.org, how we get to help the kids. And that day, we're doing this fundraiser to wrap our bus because we're getting an asthma bus for all the children in Region 6 and in North Texas. So we got the bus. We're raising money that day to wrap the bus.
All right. I encourage our listening audience to once in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or one that just want to know more information about helping stomping out asthma, helping manage asthma, to go to the positivebreathing.org and find out more information and see if there's a organization in your area, regardless of where you are, there's an organization in your area that you can help and get more information about positivebreathing.org. Now, Nurse Norris, now tell us now some myth about asthma, because sometimes people say, I'll grow out of it. I remember I was young, people say, you'll grow out of this. Do you grow out of this dreadful illness?
Actually, now, diagnostically, they say that you never grow out of asthma because if you're exposed to the same allergen, which is that lock and key situation, that you'll have the same response. Now, there are a lot of different ways that treatments help. Some people use treatments that are non-conventional. Some people use therapeutic measures. But primarily, when it's a child and we're going through the different steps and responses, we make sure that every child has a rescue inhaler or they have access to it, even if we have to help them fill out the Medicaid medication form and the Medicaid medication application. We make sure that they have the rescue inhaler and they have the nebulizer, the machine. A lot of people think in a myth. I've met a lot of people, and all right, it's various cultures have various beliefs, and asthma is one of them. Now, in the Hispanic population, they think chihuahuas take away asthma. The dogs, they also give their children coffee. And I know even in the minority group, primarily we're from a lot of the black population, they use coffee. But what coffee does is it causes your adrenal gland to release that adrenal response, the fight or flight, and that causes bronchodilation. But the question is, how big a cup of a coffee will you give a child? So you kind of know, you know, the behavior that comes when a child's very hyper. So with that meter dose inhaler, the dosage, what it does is it allows you to know what helps cause a response called a bronchodilation in the lungs and how it needs to be tapered. And then a lot of times they'll see if they want to add or take away the different parts that come with the corticosteroids. And a lot of people don't want their children on any type of steroid. We understand. There's techniques after taking the medication where they do rinse of their mouth, just making sure there's no reserve of a corticosteroid in the child's mouth, because anything that's wet, dark in your body, it'll grow bacteria or some foreign agent. So we do that teaching too. Medication distribution. And what's methodical, it's really important. If there's a parent that drops their child off and you know your child takes asthma medication, for yourself, make sure that either the nurse knows how to administer it, they can help your child if they're in distress and they have access to that medication. Or if your child's in an after-school program, or if your child is in a daycare, watch the person to make sure they know how to distribute the meds. Because we teach at so many daycare centers, and all they say is, what makes the parent think that we know how to give the child the medicine? And that's so integral, because in a crisis, in an emergency situation, you only have 6 minutes. 6 minutes with delay of oxygen causes brain death.
My Lord. You know, as you were sharing, I'm thinking about there's different levels of it. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, you got the severe, the mild, and the extreme, you know, asthma. So as you was talking about that, so we have to take this dreadful disease serious. But it's manageable, though, right?
It is manageable, but a lot of times because of the lack of understanding or the lack of access to asthma education, you see the suffrage. Most hospitals will never tell you this, but 78% of their economy comes from asthma. So if 78% of your economy comes from asthma, there should really be a focal point to where you have access to learn how to use the medication, to know what life-saving crisis is primary. A lot of people don't understand that now they do expect you to be able to manage your asthma. You know, we were taught just to go to the ER, but a lot of times, you know, there's a diversion from that, and they'll come and see if you understand the education process. But that should be a primary, because so many children are affected with
it. Okay, okay. Now, Dr. Nurse Norris, we're about ready to get out of here, Delta. We want to thank you for your knowledge and your expertise on dealing with asthma. And so we want to continue to get the word out, let people know that this disease is manageable. So at this time here, I think we lost our call here. So I pray that you enjoyed what you heard this morning about with Nurse Norris regarding
asthma.
Oh, okay, great. Now, as we get ready to get out here, give us the location one more time. I'm sorry. Give us that location one more time. And so people can be aware of what's going on and they can be a part of what you're doing.
Yes, sir. That location is going to be 44A South R.L. Thornton Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75224. Our Facebook is going to be positivebreathing.org, and you can get more information about it. It's going to be at the Life School in Dallas, the Life South Oak Cliff Campus. It's going to be from 9 to 2. And the dance teams, we have a lot of local dance teams, and we have a national dance team that are participating. And just in case anybody wants to participate in the dance event, please give us an email at info@positivebreathing.org. Again, that's info@positivebreathing.org, 469-245-7994. Again, that is 469-245-7994. That day we'll be giving away $2,000 to the winner of that dance competition. We had companies and organizations donate towards the grand prize. We're going to have rappers. They're national rappers from Dirty Water Records, Maserati, Little Ronnie, and also T-Speed and Super. We have a few other actors coming out, so it'll be a fun-filled day. And it's going to be at the Life School of South Oak Cliff, right off of 35 at 4400 South R.L. Thornton Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75224. All the daycares are welcome. The community centers are welcome. The recreation centers are welcome. If you live in an apartment complex and you know they have a lot of sick kids and you kind of want to know where is your child with asthma, or you kind of want to know where your family member is with asthma, please bring them out. Have them come out, because that one diagnostic test will kind of bring you from the darkness into a viewpoint of light. So you'll kind of know where your child is, because child life and child health is so precious.
That's great. That's great information. Thank you very much, Nurse Norris, and we're looking forward to many more events like this here to empower and inform our community. So keep doing what you're doing. We're looking forward to having you to come back here at a later date to follow up, and we're going to ask people to come on out and support your event.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate the heart that you have for Child Life. Thank you for helping Positive Breathing Organization and Asthma Chasers help the children. And when we wrap the bus, you'll be able to see the asthma bus within the housing facilities, within the local community, and at the recreation centers. We'll be able to go out and do the diagnostic test for the children that have a need, and also supportive services for those children who have a need for speech therapy, physical therapy, or occupational therapy. And our goal is also to have a crisis point or a viewpoint to help the parents who have children with severe behavioral needs and also ADD and ADHD.
All right. God bless you. Thank you very much for that information. We'll be talking with you shortly.
Thank you.
What a great interview that we had that with Nurse Norris that talking about this community event, Stomping Out Asthma with PositiveBreathing.org. Next voice you'll hear will be Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Oh, man, we had a full schedule this morning here, bro. We want to thank our guest there, our teacher, educator, Miss Robinson, and Nurse Norris there. But, yeah, we want to continue to go on. Brother Daniel, you know, we've been honoring Black History and with Black History Month here. We had a segment earlier was calling the Inventors of Black History Inventors. So now we want to follow up with that and end this show. Now, you have a poem for us this morning?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Our poem today is about Paul Laurence Dunbar. And Mr. Dunbar was born in Dayton, Ohio, and his parents escaped from slavery, and his father was a veteran of the Civil War. He was one of the first poets to basically make money from his poems, even though the people really didn't like what he was saying because he was talking in dialect form. You know what I'm saying? He was talking in Black dialect, and a lot of people in those days basically was kind of upset because we had this thing going around saying that most people, if you didn't side, you either was Uncle Tom or something like that. You know, so basically what he was doing, he was talking in, we call it urban language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead with our poem here. We're getting ready to wind down this program. That's some good history though, brother.
Okay. His poem is called We Wear the Mask. We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades of our eyes. This rent we pay in human guile, with torn and bleeding hearts we smile, and mouth with mire subtitles. Why should the world be overwise in coming all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We smile, but oh great Christ, our cries to thee from tortured souls arise. We sing, but oh the clay and vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise. We wear the mask. And that's the end of the poem.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Hey, you know what? That's a great segment to close out our Black History Month here. Thank you for your support throughout the month here, brother. We have some great guests this last past month. We're going to continue that format. We want to thank God for allowing these men and women to come spend time with us in the morning. You know, I share with people that Saturday mornings is your personal time. Your Saturday morning is the time you can look back and reflect. But yet, our guests and our listening audience want to spend their Saturday morning with me. I am so honored that you spend your me time with me. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray that what we're doing here, it makes a difference in your life, that it is empowering you to go out and tell a dying world about it. We serve a Savior that lives. This is a Christian program, but yet we talk about things in the community. We talk about education. We talk about health. We're talking about a future opportunity. Today, people look like they have no hope. They have no future. But yet we know that they do have. And we want to thank all our guests for coming on each and every week. You too can go back and listen to this program's entirety. Listen to all the shows that's associated with Blog Talk Radio, Granny Plays. And you too can be a part of what's going on. Maybe this is your day to start a ministry. Sometimes we wake up, we say, God, what would you have me to do? And he already got it before you. What you been doing? If I watched over you back then, I'll watch over you today. Again, I'd like to thank the Ladder House Ministry for being a part of the program, for Dr. Carter. I'd like to thank educator Ms. Robinson. I'd like to thank Nurse Norris. Thank you for spending your time with us. Thank you for encouraging us to be strong in the Lord. Thank you for encouraging other people to be strong in the Lord. You know, my theme, it says, help change a life in Jesus' name. That's James 5 and 20. James 5 and 20 said, let them know the errors of their way and save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. You know, I was messed up from the floor, but somebody told me that I was greater than my surroundings. Someone told me that I was the head and not the tail. Somebody told me that I could be more than a conqueror, and I received those things, but I didn't do it by myself. I had men and women of God that encouraged me to be strong in the Lord. So I encourage you today, go out and tell somebody that God have needed them. Go out and tell somebody that they're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. As we get ready to wind down this program, again, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. We're going to close out with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go on with what our Father have for us today. Today, a portion of our ministry team is going down to the Dallas Life Foundation, and we're going to be assisting and serving lunch down at the Dallas Life Foundation. The Dallas Life Foundation is a shelter for men and women. It's also a place for education, drug recovery program, and job readiness. We're also going to be going over to the Cottrell House this afternoon, where we're going to encourage our young men to be strong in the Lord. Cottrell House is a juvenile center that young men are embedded there for a length of time. It's a living facility. They have a kitchen and they have laundry. But yet we're gonna encourage them to plant a garden this year. We're gonna develop a garden out there because they're able to prepare the food that they grow. So we're gonna encourage them. But it's a teaching moment. And so I ask you to pray for us on that endeavor, and I ask you to go out and do something. Then call us up and say, hey, this is what God put on my heart to do. And guess what? You won't be alone. We get ready to close out the word of prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for what we heard this morning. We thank you for what we experienced. We thank you, dear Lord, how you look past our faults and failures, and you still call us more than come. We thank you for Miss Robinson, dear Lord, how she, dear Lord, is continually to encourage our young men and women to be all they could be, encouraging our young people that they have a future, encouraging our young people that this is not all that life has to offer. Dear Lord, thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for Nurse Norris, dear Lord, how he's a part of PositiveBreezesMinistry.org, dear Lord, how he's going out to various places encouraging our parents to look into the health needs of their kids, dear Lord, encouraging us that this dreadful disease, asthma, is manageable, dear Lord. Thank you. Dear Lord, as we get ready to wind down this program, we thank you once again, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray that what we said will make a difference in someone's life. We ask you to continue to watch over them until we meet again. We ask you, dear Lord, to order our step. Dear Lord, today somebody's life is being changed. Today, dear Lord, somebody has seen your hand at work in their life. Give them the desire, dear Lord, to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And let them work on it. Let them act toward it and let them encourage someone along the way. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You have been listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We are here each and every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 with great guests, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about the goodness of God and what all he's done for us and people around us. So we encourage you to be about your Father's business. We encourage you to help change your life in Jesus' name. As we get ready to wind down here, again, you can listen to this great show in its entirety any day of the week here because of the internet there, so you can listen to the program and be informed and be encouraged. Amen. And so as we get ready to get on out of here, again, thank you very much. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.
He's 11. The problem we're facing right now is we're losing our children. Fathers, we need you. Can you feel me? But there's some dudes that are just like me. Every time you took a picture with you and your family, it was only two people. And it was supposed to be three. It was supposed to be me asking.
Why the sky blue? When I grow up, I wanna be like you.
Yo, daddy, can you teach me how to
tie my shoes? Can I go with you to work so I can see what you do?
Let me see what you do so I can love my kid too. But you didn't stick around. Was that too much to ask of you? Too much to get a blueprint,
no.
Too much to show the way,
no.
That's the reason why this building is not finished till today.
Lost boy,
you wanna believe that
my daddy's coming back, he didn't forget about me.
As a child after school, we sit and we wait.
I know that you will come.
Take the whole nation. But it's a million of y'all and only one of me. What happened to the village, as far as I can see, has been burned down by this modern day slavery. Taking care of your kids, you're cool. But if you ain't seen your kids since Christmas.